Johnny Rowlett, give him a hand. Welcome, John. Now, I know he's bigger than me in some ways. 50 years old. Man, I can't even remember being 50. That's so far back.
Calvin Scott, what a blessing you are to me. And thank God. All I can say is thank God for Barbara Scott, who takes care of that young man right there. This is your pastor and the seed that God has sown into this valley, into Douglas, Arizona. And I was just processing and thinking about that just a second ago, that years ago, we met in Sierra Vista, and I know I'll go over this every year, but let me go to a little bit different direction. We met in Sierra Vista. Bobby and I became best friends. They moved here to be missionaries, and they planted this church. He planted churches all over Mexico. And as I was driving in, I remember years ago, I came into Douglas and have a heart for this place because they have a heart for this place. They're like second parents to me. And we started a cowboy ministry kind of thing called Ride Right Cowboy Fellowship right outside here at the Prudler Ranch. And then all these years later, in walk the Prudler grandchildren that I never even got to meet, and they're sitting right here. And that to me is some kind of a microcosm of your ministry, is that it produces and produces and produces and will continue to produce years down the road a harvest that you probably won't ever really become aware of until maybe in heaven. So I just honor you and bless you both for your service to this community and to me and to the kingdom of God. You are a blessing to us. So we're grateful to be here this morning. How are y'all doing? Good. It's a good crowd this morning. I really like seeing all these people. I'm so, I just love coming here. I was driving down. We came kind of a back way through Tombstone in this back area this morning, and I spilled coffee all over myself and had to pull over and clean myself up before we got here. And I was just sitting out there on the side of the highway and looking around, and I thought, how appropriate that on my birthday, my 50th birthday, I would be back here in this beautiful desert, and I'll travel all over the country and be able to be back here at this place at this such a time and be at this house and be doing what God has called me to do. It's amazing all the running around that we do, and we land right back here at 50 years old. I just think that's amazing. Praise God. So I just want you to know, it is my honor and my pleasure to be with you this morning as much as anything. I am so grateful to be invited here this morning to spend my birthday with you guys, especially with a piñata. Come on. I don't even know what that feels like, but I'm going to smack it. I'm going to knock that thing. I'm going to hit that. Okay, so we're going to have a good time today, praise God. Hey, listen, what I want to do is I want to just sing a couple songs this morning. Would it be okay if I shared something with you this morning from my heart, something that's just been, I'm so excited about, and to share with you something that God has shown me and revealed to me and been sharing with me daily, something that has literally been keeping me awake at night. And I'm really excited to share that. And if it's okay with you, we'll do that this morning. And then tonight, we'll come back and we'll have a concert. Okay, is that cool? Okay, three people said yes, so I'm in trouble. Don't you love this pulpit? We should get up here and preach. Come on, Calvin. Jump up on there. Okay, so we'll start with this song right here. I haven't done this song. I'm kind of going back through my songs and seeing old songs that blessed me. This was one of my very first songs. It's not really even my song, but it was kind of the song that allowed us to sell enough CDs, the ones that I made in my basement, that got me the finances to be able to go to Nashville and produce a real record. So the song is called Wave on Wave. And the reason it means something to me is I was standing in Florida. By the way, I got a gentleman that's a friend of that I met in Triple Cross Ranch in Micanopy, Florida. He's come all the way from Florida this morning to Are you moving down here? Is that what happened? Yeah. So what was your name again? Say it. Frank. So y'all make sure you introduce yourself to Frank, because he moved from Florida to Douglas. He needs some friends. That's funny. So anyhow, I was just standing in Florida. I'm standing on the beach watching the waves come in. And I just started to see myself and the way God deals with me in those waves. That there's been times where I have messed up my life so much and think that God has left me, that there's no way God could love me anymore. There's no way God could forgive me for that. And look up, and here comes another wave. Another wave of mercy, another wave of grace, another wave of love. Every time I think I'm too far gone, he just sends another wave. So we sing this song for you this morning. He's a wave on wave kind of God. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. If you could just turn this up a little bit and help me out. The microphone. Thank you, Father. It's been years since I sang this song. Mile upon mile, got no direction. We're all playing the same game. We're all looking for redemption. Come on. Just afraid to say his name. So caught up now in pretending. What we're seeking is the truth. I'm just looking for a happy ending. Lord, all I'm looking for is you, yeah. Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. Listen, I wandered out into the water. You ever been there? Come on. Oh, and I thought that I might drown. I don't know what I was after. Hey, I just know I was going down. Yeah. Well, but that's when he found me. I'm not afraid anymore. You say you know I always had you, Johnny. Come on. I'm just waiting for you to find what you were looking for. Oh, you came upon me wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Am I the one you were sent to save? Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. Come on, help me out. Goes like this, come on. I said wave on wave. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. One more time, come on. Yeah, wave on wave. You know he's a good God, right? You know he's for you, not against you, right? You know he's not mad at you. Come on, sing this. Oh, you came upon me wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Woo! Am I the one you were sent to save? Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. Yeah, the clouds roll back and the angels cry. You ain't gotta walk alone. Well, that's why he put me in your way. Come on. He wants to come upon you wave on wave. Lord, you came upon me wave on wave. You're the reason I'm still here. Woo! Am I the one you were sent to save? He wants to come upon you wave on wave. Wave on, come on, help. Praise you, Father. You're so good, God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Come on. Woo! Man, praise the Lord. Oh, I shouldn't have had that coffee and hot chocolate mix just before. That's probably not the vocal coach right there drink. So I want to sing a new song for you that's off our brand new CD. I might have had it last year. I don't really remember, but it was brand new at the time. And this song is our brand new release off of that song. And I just got a report from all the radio stations. And I don't know what's going on, but every radio station that they send it to, but three, are not only playing it, but it's like in heavy rotation. And I was just, I'm like, playing it. I'm like, wow, so cool. I guess it just resonates with people. In this time, I think the reason that my friend Dan Root helped me write this, he wrote it and brought it, and then we kind of worked on it together and finished it with Aaron Crott and Dan Root. And I was sitting there, and we're working on it, and what it meant to me was that if you watch the news long enough, you could get a bad perspective of life. You know what I mean? You can get yourself in kind of a dark place if you just focus on your circumstances. You start focusing on what's wrong, and you lose focus on what's right. You know what I mean? It's pretty easy to do, believe it or not. And sometimes we just need a shift in our perspective. We need to lift our head up out of ourselves and our own problems and the country's problems and, you know, liberals versus, you know, all that stuff. Get yourself up out of that and get a higher perspective. And sometimes my perspective is I'm not going to let nothing pull me away from the fact that no matter what happens, I am saved. Come on, let's do that song. Praise the Lord. Woo! Some kind of different for you. Life is nothing but a one-way track. There's only forward, no going back again. Never again. Like slow motion in a runaway car. The bridge is out, but you just don't know how far. Up ahead. Oh, but I am not afraid. Heaven is just a breath away. Yeah, I am not afraid. There's one thing that the world can't take away. Come on. I am saved. Woo. Let that just sink into you this morning, right? Declare that over yourself. I was living hard. I was living fast. The thrill was gone. I just couldn't make it last. Couldn't make it last. To get away from my disgrace, I'm searching for a hiding place. Oh, my hiding place. Oh, so I am not afraid. Heaven is just a breath away. Yeah, I am not afraid. There's one thing that the world can't take away. I am saved. Thank you, Jesus. I am safe from the life that brought me shame. And safe from the choices I can't change. I'm safe from the lie, the thighs of blame. And safe from the bottle that dulled my pain. I'm safe from the life that brought me shame. And safe from the choices I can't change. I'm safe from the world with thighs of blame. And safe from the bottle that dulled my pain. Oh, I not afraid. Come on. Sing it with me. Oh, I am not afraid. Woo. Heaven is just a breath away. Woo. Yeah, I am not afraid. There's one thing that the world can't take away. I am saved. I am saved. Come on, I just want you to declare that over yourself right now. I am saved. I am saved. Just let it sink into you. Let it just get all the way down. Listen, do this with me. Go up. I'm saved. And then back down. I'm saved. I am saved. Praise you, Father. Praise God. I want to share something with you, just something that's been on my heart. You know, today is my 50th anniversary and anniversary of my life. It's my birthday. And my mother my mom's been acting crazy on Facebook. I mean, she literally for the last 10 days have posted every picture ever taken of me on Facebook. And so therefore it's been very confusing to the Facebook world because they literally have been wishing me, you know, happy birthday every single day. I get probably 300 happy birthdays every day. And then at one point my mom's having to write every one of them. They say, happy birthday, Johnny. My mom's, not yet, not yet, not yet. But I've just enjoyed it. I just enjoyed all the happy birthdays. And but as I was looking at that little boy, I'm going to say something, and you got to take it right because it could be taken out of context and you could take it wrong. But as I started looking at this little boy, and I saw that there was something good in him, something special, something anointed, something that was supposed to do something for the kingdom of God. And it blessed me. But then I started thinking about all of the decisions, all of the outward things and all the inward things that tried to steal what God had called to be. All the things that have happened to me and all the things that my choices have caused in my life have somewhat could have been easily something that thwarted me or pulled me to the left or pulled me to the right. And sometimes they did. But here I am at 50, and God is just beginning to have all of that stuff come to fruition. Stuff that when I was a little boy, he called me. I've always known it. I was saved at 7 years old. I remember at 7 years old crying out to my mother when she led me to Jesus. I said, does this mean I'm a child of God? And I was fully and completely aware, even at 7. And to think that here I am now at 50, and all of these, it didn't matter what tools the enemy tried to bring my way, God's plan is bigger. And I say that to you, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what things have come your way, it doesn't matter what distractions you followed, it doesn't matter what tools the enemy has tried to block you with, there you have a calling, you have an anointing, you have a purpose, you have an intention. God intentionally created you for such a time as this, and it's not over. It's not over. I just want to share that with you. And I started thinking about the actual 50 and is it Frank? Frank said, it's your year of Jubilee. And I actually had put that on my my Instagram post that said my year of Jubilee. And here's when I started studying, and I'm just going to briefly go into this, but I it's not really the word. I just want to share this with somebody who needs to hear it this morning. The year of Jubilee, what that really meant is that you get it all back. Now, everybody says that, but what does that really mean, you get it all back? Well, let me explain to you really quickly that when you were one of the original 12 tribes, you had an inheritance in Israel. You had that which was given to you and inherited to you as a family member was yours. Now, you could sell that land, and the land was based on the years between the 50th. Every 50 years, you got that land back. So the land, so they could sell it. You could sell it for whatever, but you knew at some point it's all coming back. So somebody else could be living on your land. Somebody else could have built on your land. But when the year of Jubilee comes into order, you get it all back. It's all restored to you. I'm sure there's times in all of our lives that we have felt like we gave it away. I'm sure there's times in our life where we felt like we have messed up too much and that we've lost what God had for us. And I just want to speak over to you that that Jubilee is here, right? And Jubilee is Jubilee is not really about a year. It's about a frame of mind that my year of Jubilee has been restored to me, and all that God had given me, even things that I have lost, even things that I deserve to lose, it all comes back. Come on. Amen. Yeah. I want to share something with you just in that kind of same vein that God put in my heart. I really believe that if you'll lean into this, this is a word right here that will impact and change your life. I know I say that a lot, but for some reason, this is every year. You got to kind of understand how my mind works. Is every year we start over, right? We kind of get revamped and we get, you know, we're up in Michigan, and then we kind of look at coming to Douglas and Sierra Vista as the beginning of our year. And so I start praying and hearing and believing God for a new word for the entire year. And so every year he kind of dropped some stuff on me. And this year was no exception, first of all, but second of all, it's maybe one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in my life, and it's literally kept me up for like 3 days in a row. I got kept up with this. So what I want to share with you, I don't know if y'all follow me. Anybody here follow us on Facebook? And we have a short word in the morning from Tuesday through Friday. This guy, I love him. He's always there. I always appreciate him. Tuesday through Friday at, I think it's 9 a.m. Eastern, I do a short word. And we were in Acts chapter 2, I think, and it's where Peter is sitting in the upper room with all the disciples, and he begins to see that one of his roles is to fulfill the prophecy, right, that they had to replace Judas. And there's this little piece in there that it says, Judas was one of us. He was our brother. And it hit my heart, it pricked my heart that although what he did was bad, they still loved him. And I kind of think, and not to get too far off, but I kind of think that had Judas not ran off and killed himself, that if he could have just waited on Jesus, I think Jesus would have restored him. I believe that Judas really didn't even fully understand what he was doing. I don't believe that Judas completely understood that their intention was to murder Jesus. And all of a sudden, I just got a real heart of grace for Judas. He's kind of hated in the word, but you could hear it in Peter. He was one of us. And we miss him. So I started kind of just tracking that a little bit. And as I started studying that, I saw something kind of interesting. When he goes back and he goes to the leaders of the council, of the tribal council. I'm not tribal council. Whoa, I'm not in Montana. he goes back to the Sanhedrin, to the leaders, to the the temple police and all that. He's standing there. He goes to them and he says to them, I've always thought what he said was, give me 30 pieces of silver and I'll give you Jesus. I've always thought. Isn't that what you thought? That's not what he said. He says, he goes to them, and it's an important little caveat. I'm going to show you why. He says to them, how much is Jesus worth to you? What is the value that you would place on Jesus? What would you give me to have a sit-down meeting with Jesus? What would you give me? What's it worth to you if I put you in contact with Jesus? Come on. Man, let's break. What's he worth to you? What's he worth to you? What value do you put on Jesus? What value do you have for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? What value? That's an important piece because they said, I've always thought that it was him saying, give me 30. No, they came up with the price of 30 pieces of silver. They came up with that. That's an interesting thing. Where did that number come from? 30 pieces of silver. They didn't just pull that out of nowhere. So I started studying that. And don't you love the Word of God that you can just, oh, man, I just love to get in there and find stuff. And so the first thing I want you to do is I want you to turn to Exodus. I don't have my phone. Can you? It's Exodus chapter 21, I believe. We'll see if I'm right. Exodus chapter 21. Let's see if I'm right. Yes, 21. Verse 28. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 21, verse 21. I'm not going to be long this morning. And we'll, he said, good. He's the only one of y'all that could get away with that. Exodus chapter 21, verse 28. I just want to share this with you. This is good news. This is something that gives you a perspective of what he really did for you. And then what he's doing and will do for anybody else that would ask him. Exodus 21, verse 21, 28. Let me, while you're turning there, let me just kind of give you this story of what this is about. Let me paint you the picture. This is the law. This is the law being given and being explained. This is given to the children of Israel. The children of Israel had just come out of bondage, come out of slavery, right? Where were they slaves? Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And God had set them free and brought them out of Egypt and was bringing them to the promised land. Come on, watch this. They're bringing them to the promised land. All they had to do was walk out of their slavery and walk into their freedom. You sang about it this morning. They walking out of bondage and all they had to do was walk into freedom. But somewhere along the way, although they were set free, they were still in their minds walking in slavery. They still had minds of slaves. They just because you get set free out of a situation, it doesn't really affect you until it gets in your understanding, in your mind, and you begin to realize, I am no longer a slave. I am free. Say it. I am free. I'm no longer a slave. I am free. So here's how you know they didn't really understand. First of all, they were whining and complaining and bickering and moaning. And they get to the promised land. And Moses says, take one from each tribe to go in and spy out the land. God tells them, I just want you to go spy out the land. If you read it, it's really interesting. We won't go there this morning. But he just said, go spy out the land. And they went in, and Moses kind of turns what God said, go spy out the land, and Moses kind of turns it and says, go in there and see how big the giants are. Go see if there's fortified cities. Go see how many armies we're going to be up against. Go see, and he puts a negative spin on it. So 12 go in, and 12 come out. And while they're there, there's this little line that I just kind of give to you that kind of gave me a perspective. It says, and it was the season of the ripening of the grapes. What that says to me is that that was God saying, I want you to go see how good your God is. I want you to go in this land and see that it flows with milk and honey. I want you to see the size of the grapes. I want you to see how amazing it is. I want you to see how good a God you serve that brought you out of slavery and gave you freedom and gave you a promised land. Just go and rest in the land that I gave you, freedom. But they start twisting it because their slave mentality starts twisting it and they start to get a bad perspective. And the Bible says that 12 came out, and 10 of the 12 had a evil or bad report. And they brought out a cluster of grapes, one cluster of grapes that was so big that they had to hold it between two men on a stick. And two of the men said, look how good our God is. Look at the size of these grapes. Look at how amazing of a God he gave us this land. And their perspective was on God, not on problems. Their perspective was on promises, not on problems. But the other 10, the Bible says, said, look at the size of these grapes. How big must be the giants in the land? And they chose to be negative and fearful, and they chose to stay in the desert instead of walking into the promised land. And while they're out, God says, okay, then you just go stay out there. You're going to walk out there. And while they're out there, he gives them the law. Here, can I just say this to you? We still do that to this day. We still have slave mentalities, and we still, whatever God gives us, we still act in negative, focusing on the negative. God just took care of the whole entire army and washed them away in the Red Sea, split the Red Sea, and washed them all away. And they're going to go, boy, there must be some big giants in the land. But we do the same thing still to this day. Oh, my electric bill is too big. Just saying. So while they're in the desert, he gives them the law, right? Can I just say this to you? I don't believe God's intention was to ever give them the law. I believe that it was God's intention to give them freedom and have them walk into the promised land. But because they chose to trust their fear and their own circumstance, he said, okay, so while you're out here, I'm going to give you something that's going to prove to you that you cannot please me, you cannot know me, you cannot come be with me by yourself and your own righteousness. So I'm going to give you the law. The law was given to them to prove to them that they cannot do it. It was a setup. So this is one of the laws. You guys got your seatbelts on? This right here is going to blow your mind. It blew mine. Maybe it's just me, but I want you to see this. They needed Jesus. Amen. So watch this. Verse 21. This is just an example of one of the definitions of the law. Let's go back. Let's understand that what we're talking about here is where did they get the 30 pieces of silver number from? Where did they get that from? This is just one of those laws that's being defined. And I found this and was so fascinated by this. Let me put it into cowboy terms for you. Are y'all awake this morning? Nod your head. All right. Watch this. It says, if a bull gores a man or a woman to death, then the ox shall surely be stoned, and its flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be acquitted. So if your bull gets out and he kills somebody, you're going to lose your bull, but it was an accident, it's okay. However, if your bull gets out and you know that it has had a tendency in the past to get out, and then while it's out, it gores a son, someone's son, or someone's daughter, come on. If your bull that you know has had a problem of getting out in the past gets out, and then while it's out, it kills a son or daughter, then not only is the bull going to be put to death, but you're going to get put to death. You're going to get stoned. But there's one little caveat here. However, if the father of the son or the daughter, what's your name? Say it again. that's the coolest name I've ever heard. That is cool, man. I can't even say it. Say it again. I'm so glad I asked you your name. That's the coolest name I ever heard. God with me is sitting right there, man. Come on, praise God. Woo! Come on! Bless God. God with me. Man, I want to get to know that cat right there. All right, so this God with me right here, right? He's out, and Calvin's bull gets out and runs over and kills God with me. Who's the mother? You the mother? The mother can put a price and say, you owe me $1 billion, Calvin, for my son's life because he's priceless. But you can put a price on him. And let's say you say $1 billion. Calvin has to pay you $1 billion or he gets stoned to death. It never happened. You know why? Because no one would put a price on their son or their daughter. Why? Because a son or a daughter is priceless. Priceless, say it. Priceless. Priceless. Here's the part though. A son or daughter is priceless. But watch this. The next verse says, but if that same bull gets out and kills a male or female slave, a son or daughter is priceless, but if it kills just a slave, then all you have to do is give to the owner 30 pieces of silver. See, a son or a daughter is priceless, but a slave is worth nothing more than 30 pieces of silver. They knew exactly what price they're putting on Jesus. What's Jesus worth to you? The price of a slave. He's nothing. Watch this. Turn to Zechariah. Ooh, this is good. This is so good. He's not valuable to us. We're just going to give him the price of a slave. Turn to Zechariah. Zechariah verse 11. Chapter 11 verse 10. While you're turning there, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 10, let me tell you a little bit about Zechariah. Zechariah in the Bible is known as a minor prophet. Say minor. Known as a minor prophet. And literally the entire book of Zechariah is a type and shadow of a prophecy of Zechariah standing in the Old Testament. Can you picture this? He's standing in the Old Testament looking over into the New Testament, and he's proclaiming and prophesying the coming king. So the whole book is a types and shadows of the coming Jesus. Are y'all with me? Okay. So this is what he says. Woo, man, I got, Father, thank you, Jesus, for this word. And I took my staff called beauty. Here's another word for beauty. It's called grace. Did you know that? I took my staff called beauty, grace, and I cut it in two. I cut it in two. I busted it in two. That I might break the covenant. Come on. That I might break the covenant that I had made with the people. Had is past tense, right? So what's he saying here? I took I want to break my covenant, the old covenant, and I want to usher in the new covenant. I want to break the old law, ritualistic religiosity, and I want to give them the new covenant of my son, Jesus. But God is not a man that he should lie, so he needs something to take place right here. He needs something to kind of give, allow him to break the old covenant and bring in Jesus. And so what he does here is he asks them, go down to verse 12. I said to them, if it's agreeable to you, give me my wages. Give me what I'm worth. Come on. And if not, refrain. So they weighed out for him 30 pieces of silver. Tell me what I'm worth to you, God said. And they said 30 pieces of silver. And this, the next verse is hilarious to me. It's sarcasm. But before you read that, let's go back to the story of Judas really quick. Are y'all following with me? So here's Judas. He takes the 30 pieces of silver. Then somewhere along the line, he figures out and discovers that their intention is to actually kill Jesus. So he, in a panic, runs back to them and says, "Wait a minute. I didn't know you were going to kill him." So he takes the 30 pieces of silver and throws it at their feet. And they take that 30 pieces of silver and they realize this is blood money right here. Judas runs off and kills himself because he realized what he had done. Unknowingly or not, he put himself in this position. Are you with me? The leaders then take that money. And they know we can't put this back in the coffer. So what they do is they take this money and they go and they buy a plot of land with it. And they bury it in the land. They buy it from the potter. They take the money and they buy it, the potter's land. Here's the thing you got to know. First of all, just real quick, a little caveat. To this day, no one has ever built a single building or anything. That piece of land that they purchased with the blood money of Jesus, no one's ever built anything on it. Muslims, Christians alike, it's still empty because the blood of Jesus purchased it. They threw it to the potter. So here's sarcasm. God says, "Okay, I'm going to ask you something. I want to break my old covenant. So here's how I'm going to do that. I'm going to ask you, what's my son's value to you? Remember we said everything in here is about Jesus, the coming Jesus. What's he worth to you?" And they said 30 pieces of silver, a slave's ransom, 30 pieces of silver. And so here's pure unadulterated sarcasm right here in verse 13. "The Lord said to me, throw that to the potter." To the potter. Are y'all with? Can you? This is prophesied. Is this not what they did? "Throw that to the potter." And then it says that princely price that they put on me. 30 pieces of silver. Are you kidding me? That's my son. I thought he was supposed to be priceless. And you gonna give me 30 pieces of silver for him? Throw that to the potter, that princely price. So this is what God is saying. "I knew it. I knew you didn't value my son. I knew that you didn't fully, you're not cognizant of it. I knew you people would just want to stay in your law, in your religion. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pay that measly, princely price of 30 pieces of silver. I'm going to pay that so that my son could become a slave. So that as he becomes a slave, I can set all the slaves free and make them sons and daughters." Think about it. He said, "My son, Jesus, is the Son of God, and he becomes a slave so that you that were slaves could become sons and daughters." He paid the price of slavery for you. "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." Come on, say, "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." He paid the price of a slave so that you don't have to be a slave no more. You've been set free. You're set free. You're a son and a daughter. You are priceless to the Father. You're priceless. He sent his son and let them put a price on him so that he could break the old covenant and usher in the new covenant of the blood of the living God, the blood of an innocent lamb, Jesus. Jesus paid your price. They were slaves coming out of Egypt. They were slaves. And they chose to remain being slaves. Can I just ask you a question? You're a son, right? You're a daughter. You're priceless. Why are you still acting like a slave? What do slaves, what did the children of Israel do in Egypt as slaves? What did they do daily? Made bricks. They built bricks. Every day, they got up and they had a works mentality. I got to get up and I got to produce. I've got to produce bricks so that my master might not beat me today. If I build enough bricks and produce well enough today, then maybe my master won't beat me. Maybe he'll give me grace. Maybe he'll give me favor. Maybe he'll forgive me. Maybe he will give me a little extra portion to give me a little bit of favor. Maybe if I do enough for my master, then he will give me something. Works mentality. Why are you still building bricks? Are you a slave? You're free. Son of God. Daughter of God. The price has been paid. He paid that price so that you could be a son or daughter of God. So why are you still going to go back and build bricks? Every day we wake up. If I do enough for God, he'll love me. If I do enough, if I do this, then he'll do this. If I do that, then he'll do that. If I build enough bricks, maybe he'll give me favor. Maybe he'll give me grace. Maybe he'll give me hope. Maybe he'll give me peace. Maybe he'll give me forgiveness. No, he said, you're my son. You're my son. Why don't you just come up here with me? Lay down all that works. Come up here and get in my presence. Come up here and rest, son. Come up here. Your day doesn't have to be focused on building bricks. Your day doesn't have to be focused on getting God to love you. You are loved. You are in a new covenant. And what he really wants your day to exist about is just getting in his presence and living grateful. I can see some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. It's because religion is so prominent in our lives and it teaches us so many things to get into. I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to do this. No. All you got to do is worship the Father and get into his presence. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then all of these other things will be added unto you. All you have to do is seek him, get in his presence, rest in his presence, and then listen to this. Be grateful. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Do you know that song? Do you guys play that? Can you go play that for me? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. What kept the children of Israel out of the promised land? Come on, don't dismiss yourself yet. This is where something's going to happen right now. I'm declaring it over you right now. Some of you need the bondage of religiosity broken off of you. Can I just tell you something? The world that's outside of here, they don't have a problem with God. They got a problem with religion. We've been religious long enough. Can I just say something? It don't work. Your little religiosity garbage, it don't work. The only thing that works is understanding that you have been grafted into the vine. You have been adopted into the Father's arms. You are a child of the Most High God. And hear this, so are they. There's a whole city here that are children of the Most High God, and they just don't know it. Because some way, somehow, in the process, in the long-term process, what we made it about is if you come to church, and if you do this, and if you do that, and if you do that, and you put your religion on them. But really, all we wanted to do is let them know, become aware that they are children of God. You've been paid for. They've been paid for. Let's just sing this song. I want you to sing this, just the very first part of it. We'll go into the whole song. But I want you to hear, there's somebody in this room right now that you see God and you see church and you see Christianity as a religion. And God is declaring to you this morning, you're my son. You're my daughter. I just want you to come be with me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that somebody misrepresented Jesus to you. Can I just tell you, if you're sitting in the audience tonight and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior because you don't want any of that religious stuff, I'm good with that. I don't either. Can I tell you that you sitting in here, your debt has been paid by Jesus. He paid the ransom of a slave so that you could become a son. So why are you still choosing to be a slave? If you're sitting in here this morning, you say, I'm done being a slave. I want to be the child of God that He called me to be. I'm ready. I'm ready to accept it. I'm ready to receive it. I'm ready to be a child, a son, or a daughter of a living God. And I believe Him. And I want to do that. Raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you. There's hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. Let's sing this and declare it over ourselves right now. Thank you, Father. Come on, declare it over yourself right now. No longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. All right. Come on. Longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. Anybody in this room right now that's ready to make that commitment for the first time, if there's anybody in this room that has never declared Jesus as Lord of your life, you've never asked Him to come in, you've never given your life to Him, you've never walked in the revelation that you are a child of God, and you see yourself as maybe a slave, and today is your day. Today is your day to make Jesus Lord of your life. Today is your day to get into His throne room. Today is your day to say, I am a child of the Most High God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, come up here now. Anybody at all? I'm going to wait on you. Anybody? Is there anybody here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Come on, thank you. You're who I came here for, brother. You're the guy I came here for. I didn't come here. This is Daniel, and Daniel has come up here to make a decree that he is a child of God. Do you believe there's a God, Daniel? And do you believe that he created you? If you believe there's a God and you believe he created you, do you believe he did it on purpose? If you believe there's a God and you believe that he created you and you believe that he did it on purpose, then the only question in life that matters is why. And I'll tell you why. Because he loves you and because he wants you to be his. Look, I know that up to this point, I don't know how old of a man you are, but I know that up to this point, you may not have even believed there is a God sometimes. And maybe things have happened in your life that made you think that, is there really a God out there? I want you to know that all of that has been a distraction to get you to this point right here. That you can declare with your heart and with your mouth that he is the Lord of your life. And you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to say this to you, Daniel. A prayer doesn't save you. It's a heart condition. When you got up out of that chair and you walked up here, you were saying with your heart, with your life, I want you to be my Lord. You can say this. I don't understand it all. I don't really understand all the details of it. I just know that I'm tired of acting and walking and around in circles and being a slave. I'm ready to be a child of God. And I believe that Jesus is the key to that. That his blood shed for me is what makes me a child of God. And that's what I want. And then the journey actually starts. Are you with me? Okay. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Daniel. I thank you for the boldness to come up here in front of all these people that he probably doesn't even know. Lord, I thank you that since he was a little boy, there's been attacks to try to keep him from coming to this moment. But he's standing up here with me today, Father. And he's saying with his heart and with his mind and with his voice that he believes. He believes. Father, I want you to come into his life and restore and renew him and love on him like he's never experienced. Reveal yourself to him in a way he could not even imagine. Father, let this be a line drawn in the sand for him today. I'm no longer a slave. I'm a child of God. From this day forward, he can declare that. I'm a child of God. Here's what I want you to do, Daniel, and I want everybody to pray this prayer. Is this as well? Robert? Okay. We're going to pray this prayer together, and I want everybody to pray it together. You and you, Daniel and Robert, you're not just praying this prayer, you're declaring this prayer. Do you know what that means, declaring? It means speaking it. That you believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Let's say this. Father God, I believe you. I believe you love me. I don't understand it all, but I believe you. I believe that you love me so much that you sent your son for me, and I receive it. I accept it. I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that you are God, and that you sent your son Jesus to shed his blood for me. I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and you covered my life, and you've forgiven me. I'm forgiven. I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. I'm born again. Father, I rebuke any strongholds over these two people. I rebuke anything that has attached themselves. I rebuke the spirit over them, on, off them. I thank you, Father, that you will give them brand new life, that you breathe on them life, that you reveal yourself to them in a way that he cannot even possibly understand right now. Father, he'll go home tonight and he'll think, I just went up front. I didn't really know what I was doing. And Father, you will just, you say, you know his heart. He is here and Robert is here to accept you as Lord and Savior. These are children of God. This is a son of the Most High God. This is a son of the Most High God. And I decree it and declare it over you in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for revelation. I pray that you sweep in. Peace comes like a river. Joy unspeakable. Father, you just continue to pour out your spirit on Daniel and Robert and have them walk in the revelation knowledge that I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I'm a child of God. Let's celebrate. This is your brother. These are your brothers right here. Let's celebrate. Let's sing a song. Come on. Okay, some of you in here, and I know time is getting short, but this is important right here, and there's other people in here that might be feeling the same way. I kind of felt it already, but I was too concerned about time. There may be somebody in here who's dealing with sickness and disease, and what can happen with that, okay? This isn't a healing service, but it's a healing service, okay? Here's what I'm saying. What can happen is the enemy brings in sickness and disease into our life. He brings in anger. He brings in addiction. He brings in things into our life that what it does is it takes our attention off the Father and it gets us back onto our problems. It takes our attention off the promises and makes us focus on the problems. So what happens is that what the Father wants to say to you this morning is that you're a child of God. You're a son or daughter of God. And all that's going on in your body, all that's going on in your marriage, all that's going on in your family life, all that's going on in your work, your business, your money, it can, if you focus on the problems, you'll never receive the promises. A child of God focuses on the promises, not the problems. You feel me on that? So if there's anybody here this morning that you could say, I've been distracted. I started looking down instead of looking up. I've kind of let my life become focused on problems. If that's you, I want you to come up here. We're going to pray for you along with Victoria. Victoria's up here for scoliosis. Anybody else have problems in their body? Anybody dealing with addiction? Anybody dealing with secret sin? Anybody dealing with anger issues? Anybody dealing with financial issues, marriage issues, anything going on in your life? We're just going to come up here and join into a line and declare and decree over each other that we are sons and daughters, and we will not get lost and focused and distracted on the problems. We're going to raise our vision up and start focusing on the promises. Child of God, man of God, son of God, woman of God. Don't let the enemy pull your attention away. Don't let the enemy make you focus on what's wrong. Gail, can I have you come up here and pray for Victoria? And then I'm going to pray for everybody else right here. We got any of the other elders? I'm going to wait on my wife, Gail. I know she's ministering right there. Let's do that. You do that part. Walk right through it. I am a child of God. All right, hear those words right there. You rescued me so that I can stand and say, I am a child of God. You split the Red Sea so that I can walk right through it. So I can stand and say right here, I am a child of God. All right, let's bring it down. If you just hear what they just sang, you split the sea so that I can walk right through it. You rescued me in perfect love. What I'm trying to explain to you is anything in your life that takes your focus off of the promises of God and the covenant that you have with Him and makes you look at only that thing, it can become like the Red Sea. As the children of Israel standing at the Red Sea looking at their circumstances, they see no way through this. Some of you may be standing up here right now and you see no way to get over this circumstance, this problem, this issue. And in the last moment of hopelessness, mercy stepped in and split the Red Sea. I'm praying that God does the same thing over you right now in Jesus' name. That your circumstances, your fear, your worry, your doubt, your concern, your addictions, whatever distraction is split wide open. Gail, can you come pray for Victoria? She has scoliosis, and we're going to pray over here, and then I'm going to pray over everyone. I am a child of God. Father, in the name above every other name, I thank you that you have given us authority. Authority of a believer, authority to step into the waters, authority to believe that you will split the sea for us so that we can walk right through. Father, I thank you that no circumstance, no fear, no doubt, no worry, no strife, no anger, no issues, no addiction will keep us from walking into your faithfulness of your presence, Father. That, Father, we believe your promises more than we believe what's wrong with us. We believe your promises more than we believe our problems. We believe in promises over problems. Focus, Father, right now, we choose right now to lift our minds, lift our hearts, lift our heads, and begin to worship you as all living Abba Father, that you have provided all health, all you've split the Red Sea for us already. Father, we choose this morning to make a decision and declare over our lives that we're going to walk right through. No weapon formed against us will prosper in Jesus' name. Just say this with me this morning. Father God, I believe you. I am a believer. I'm choosing this morning to put my hope, to put my faith, to put my trust in a living God, in you, Father. I believe in you. I believe that you'll make a way where there seems to be no way. I believe that you'll split the Red Sea for me because you love me that much. No matter what happens to me, I will remain a son and a daughter of God. I will no longer be a slave to fear. I will no longer be a slave to addiction. I will no longer be a slave to pains in my body. I will no longer be a slave to anger issues. I will no longer be a slave to marriage issues. I will no longer be a slave at all. I say over my life that I'm a son, I'm a daughter of a living God, and I will walk in that covenant provided for me today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, look at someone real close to you and say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. Yeah, I'm free. Amen. You're free. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Our freedom is because of Jesus and all in Jesus. Somebody help me out. What time's the service tonight? Barbara, do you know what time the service will be tonight? 5 o'clock. Everybody say 5 o'clock. Please come back at 5 o'clock. Bring someone with you. And we're going to have a little piñata for Johnny and for the children here in a few minutes, so kind of hang close. We'll check the weather outside. If it's too cold outside, we'll just do it right here. But anyway, Mitch, you're in charge of that, right? There he is. Fellowship, visit with one another for a little bit. God bless you richly. Thank you for participating in this service.